Well, I wanted to have you touch a little bit as chair of the Government and Military Veterans Affairs Committee. What's some of the things that committee's been working on? As I know we're, you know, in the early enough stages where a lot of things that are happening now are in committee. So if you want to kind of update us on what you're seeing as chair of that committee.
Well, we dove into some of the real hot issues right away. I exec within the first 48 hours on voter ID, and it came out 4-4 in committee. We exec on OB-774, which is the First Freedom Act. That was a simple bill that said if there was future events like we experienced with the COVID, that the rules would apply evenly to churches as it does to liquor stores, that you can't open one and ban another, that it has to be evenly handled. And that was pros 4-4 again in committee. And so we have not been able to get much out of the government committee. It's a 4-4 committee, and you know, unfortunately, the way these committees need to be designed is so they're an even number, and then you can get bills out or you can kill bills, but you don't leave them hanging forever. And now, if any of those bills come out, it's going to have to be by a poll motion, which again, that's what I was looking to do with constitutional carry. Poll motions take time; they're hard, and a lot of the chairmen don't agree with them, but when you can't get a bill out because of the design of the committee, or if the chairman, which is the case in the constitutional carry bill, just says, no, I'm not going to do it, it's your only option left. So we will see if some of those bills don't get pulled. I'd like to think that you know, we can get something out. We will have a Secretary of State cleanup bill. And it'll include some things like right now, if you're a National Guardsman and you're deployed on state active duty, the southern border or some emergency, you're actually not authorized to vote. That's just wrong. So we got an amendment to fix that. And so we'll have some technical cleanup stuff that probably can get a few of the others to vote for. But the big ticket items are probably always going to be 4-4. And, you know, elections have consequences, and I hope that the Committee on Committee next year, when they design the membership of the government committee, that they give us enough to where you can get bills moving and not be at a constant stalemate.
Well, before we let you go, you know, we see so much of it anymore with filibusters and basically the rules that you have 8 hours of debate on general file, another 4 on select file, and another 2 on final reading before cloture votes can be invoked. And of course, that cloture vote is such a high threshold to get to 33 when, you know, you only need 25 to pass a bill and 30 to override a veto, but 33 to invoke cloture. Do you see that ever becoming something for the legislature or the voters to maybe take up on that level that's needed to get through cloture?
I think it probably will come up next year that we try and get to 30 for cloture instead of 33. It is a bar that's too high. The state is split just enough to where it rides that line to where you really never get anything done. We were blessed to be able to get the Convention of States through, but we did it only by the exact vote. There was no room left, and that was one that was filibustered 8 hours, 4 hours, and 2 hours, and you know, if you've got such a burning desire and you have the hatred of a bill that you're going to put in that much time, you know, you would think it would be something that was really earth-shaking and not something that, you know, really protects constitutional rights more than anything else. I just can't see them putting that much energy into the constitutional carry. In an election year, you jeopardize your future if you want to say that you're going to stand there and fight the Second Amendment for all those hours on the floor of the legislature. So I'm hopeful if I can get it pulled, get it to the floor, that bill will become law. I'm not hopeful on a lot of the others because the side that likes to filibuster seems like they've got their machine in place, and if it so much as bothers them at all, they just filibuster. Now, I don't think it's a great technique because all of their bills get moved to the right. And this is a short session, and with all the financial arguments we're going to have over that money, I think we'll run out of time, and the majority of their bills will never see the light of day because they filibuster. flustered it into a position where it can't be heard. So, you know, you live with your actions, and we'll see how that comes out.
Well, appreciate the time as always. We'll be catching up with you again for the rest of the session. Now, briefly before I let you go, there was one. I saw Senator Stinner's bill on the consumption tax. Wondered how you came down on that. I don't know, same way, if it'll ever make it out of committee, but doing away with basically the entire way that the state has brought in revenue and then go straight to a consumption tax. I just kind of was interested if you've looked at that at all and where you might come down on that one.
I have. I looked at it a lot. And I will tell you that the current system we're in, we're running people off. They want to go and settle somewhere else for retirement. They want to go somewhere else when they retire. Some don't want to come back to Nebraska. We are a high-tax state. And part of it is it's not evenly distributed on how we tax folks. And we've given so many people these giant cutouts. And the consumption tax is a kind of a, I don't know, you've heard the term fair tax, flat tax, whatever, but it is a set tax. It is evenly distributed amongst the rich and the poor, and the poor do get a rebate. So if you're, so close to the poverty line, you're going to get so much of a rebate. So it does have a way of protecting them. And I just think it's an innovative idea that is needed in Nebraska, or we will eventually grind ourselves into a position where we'll have a lot of bankruptcies because people just can't pay their property tax. And this gets rid of property tax, sales tax, income tax, inheritance tax. It cleans the slate. And if you think about it, there's never been a time in anyone's life that they've really owned their ground. If you don't pay your property tax, guess what? You're no longer going to get to live there. Well, you don't own the ground. The state owns the ground. You're just paying to rent it. This gives you the ability to not have that property tax looming over you.
And not to get too deep into that one, but so taking away the property tax and some of those, would it be that county governments and city governments then who rely on that tax, school districts, they would become then completely reliant on state distributions from that consumption tax?
Yeah, another good question. The way I've seen it work is they are looking at a formula where they would give city and counties X amount of dollars, and then anything above that, they go to the state and justify it. And that's kind of off a historical record of how they've spent. I think there'll be some growing pains with it. There'll be some spots where they've got to figure out how to adjust accordingly. But I think in the big picture, as far as the amount of money that people will have in their wallet as a result of this, it'll be pretty well received once the bugs are worked out.
Well, appreciate their time as always. We'll be catching up with you again, probably in a month or so as things kind of work their way through. So appreciate the time that you've taken with us. And until the next time, we'll say good afternoon, or we'll catch up with you again down the road.
All right. Thank you, sir.
That's 43rd District State Senator Colonel Tom Brewer joining us here on KBRB.